your interview from back in the day. So, Mr. Fonte Coleman.
Yes, Mr. Tobias Rose.
I'm gonna ask you something that they don't usually ask in interviews.
Okay.
How are you doing, man?
I'm doing okay. I mean, I'm doing all right. I mean, I'm at a point in my life now where I'm trying to enjoy the process and not think of a finish line.
Yeah.
Because I just got just a lot going on, like work-wise, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of waiting for the point. I'm trying to get past the point of thinking like, man, when this is over, I can enjoy myself. I'm trying to enjoy myself through the process and enjoy the ride. So that's kind of where I'm at right now.
You enjoy what you do, man, because I've seen you in the studio. I've seen you recording, and it's crazy. You record, when you're writing, I don't know where you go. You just get into a zone, and it's like, I don't know if the stuff is already in your head. I don't know if you've been thinking about it, but do you enjoy the writing? What's not happening? I mean, you don't think about that?
Yeah. I mean, I think what I enjoy most is the process, just like feeling your way through. Literally like feeling your way through the darkness and coming out into the light. You know, it's times, and I've said it before, I feel more connected to God in the studio. Like music is my religion, you know what I'm saying? In the sense that, you know, when you walk into a room and you have nothing, and it's been plenty of times where I've, you know, been in the studio and like I have nothing at all. Like I don't know what I'm gonna say, I don't know what I'm gonna write. I don't know, you know, what I'm gonna do. And, you know, you just sit there, you listen to a track or, you know, you hum something or whatever, and then all of a sudden it takes shape. Yeah. And being able to walk through that, I mean, that is, you know, probably just, I mean, the most spiritual experience that I've had, you know what I'm saying? And to me, that's evidence of God or, you know, the creator working through me. So if there's something I enjoy, I would say it's probably the process. I mean, it's definitely a love-hate relationship because it can be grueling. But when you finally make it out and when the record comes out and it's done and it's like, man, like, God, 5 hours ago, I ain't have nothing.
Yeah.
But now I got this. Like, that is rewarding.
Do you think that's part of the reason why, because I know, you know, some years ago, you stepped away from hip hop a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that that's why? Did you find that singing and with you, like I don't want to get it twisted. Respectfully, I think that when you put together a song, and I could be wrong, correct me if I am,
okay. You
don't necessarily think about genre.
Not at all.
You know, you're
not
sitting there and you're thinking, and like you said, this is a spiritual experience. You're thinking your way through putting together this illustration of where you are emotionally, or like you said, spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's the reason why you maybe stepped away from hip hop? Did you find it limiting?
I don't know if I necessarily found it limiting. It was just, I don't know. I mean, again, like when you sit down to make a record, there was a point in my career where I would sit down and I was like, yo, man, I gotta kill this.
Yeah.
I gotta kill this.
I remember.
But then, right.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That was just everything. It's just kill, kill, kill.
Yeah.
But sometimes, you know, it's just like the old saying, if the only tool you have is a hammer, then everything looks like a nail. So to me, it was just a thing of kind of realizing like, you know, man, I got other tools in my toolbox.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if I want to hammer it, I can, but maybe I can use the chisel.
Yeah.
Maybe I can use the screwdriver. Maybe I can use the, you know, the wrench, whatever. You know what I mean? But so I don't know if it was anything limiting that I felt limited in hip hop. I guess it was more so just breaking out of my way of thinking and just saying like, man, I really can make whatever kind of music I want.
Yeah.
And giving yourself the permission to do that. Because a lot of times, you know, people think, you know, if they switch directions in any field, if it's art, if it's music, if it's whatever, they think, okay, well, if I switch directions, the people won't understand it.
Right.
And the thing about it is that it's not about the people, it's about you. You know what I'm saying? Like not having faith in the audience is ultimately not having faith in the art and not having faith in yourself. So it's really just about giving yourself permission to say, you know what, I can pivot. You know what I'm saying? And will I lose some people? Maybe, but I could probably gain a whole lot of motherfuckers, you know what I mean? So, yeah, that was really what it was about. It was just really just breaking free of that limitation, not that rap music had, but just that I think I was putting on myself.
Man, this is crazy hearing you say this. Now, we doing an interview, but this is also kind
it's
of-
It's just conversation.
Yeah,
we just chopping
like,
it up.
I'm gonna tell you, so, you know, I remember when we were sitting in the studio and you brought in, we were talking about the next Foreign Exchange album. right? We were talking about the artwork for it. And you came in, you said, all right, Toe, I got you. You want to hear something? Here it is. And I'm thinking, all right, this is about to, you know, I'm thinking.
Bars.
About, yeah, I'm thinking about it. My man about to hit it. And you came in, you know, she loves me. I was like, and so the first time I heard it, I remember sitting in the studio, and I feel like you were probably, you weren't even looking at me. You were just sitting there grooving, listening, like, you know. And I'm thinking in my head, like, what in the hell is he doing? And then it wasn't. Now, so I had to take all that and put together the artwork, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't until the single dropped that I got it. And I remember I was in love. I was in, like, crazy. You know where I was at around that time. Mm-hmm. And I was sitting there in the Corolla just singing. You know, I was in it, man. Like, you know, it was a genius move.
Thank you, man.
You know, to do that. But I'll tell you this also. It honestly showed me you were a musician. I already knew. I had respect for you as a musician.
Thank you, man.
But it kind of took it to another level. Do you, right now, because you're still doing foreign exchange, do you have any new tricks like that up your sleeves musically that you think?
New tricks. Yeah, I mean, I guess there's always new things, yeah. You know, you can show.
Because, I mean, if you break out some Beethoven on the piano,
I can't.
You would learn how to play some instruments.
Dude, piano was always something I wanted to learn, yeah. But piano was just one of those things, like, instruments is like, so here's my goal. Like, this is like my secret moment that I'm putting out into the world. I'm gonna get cast in a movie as a piano player, but I can't play piano, so they're gonna have to train me for the movie.
You waiting for that?
And that's how I'm gonna learn. I'm telling you, that's how it's gonna happen. They're gonna cast me as like an old blues piano player or some shit, and they're gonna have to hire a trainer, and I'm gonna just have to go hard for like 8 weeks or 2 or 3 months, whatever, just to go in, get my Ryan Gosling on, and that's how I'm gonna learn piano, because I'm not gonna learn it otherwise. It's just. It's just, you know, at this point in my life, I gotta stick to the shit that pays me.
You might learn, I mean, it might come. You might be sitting at the house one day bored and just say, hey.
Maybe. It hasn't happened yet. I know some theory, and I mean, I know how to make chords and stuff. Right. And I mean, I know very basic theory, but in terms of just actually playing, no. So, but no, in terms of like new tricks, I mean, I guess just trying to learn, if there's a trick that I have to learn or show, rather, I guess it's just trying to create from a place of freedom and from a place of happiness. So much in terms of hip hop is, you know, so much of it is a lot of times is driven by angst.
Aggression,
you know what I mean?
Aggression.
And aggression, yeah. And driven from, you know, and that doesn't mean that you gotta make PM Dawn records. And I mean, I love fucking PM Dawn, but it doesn't mean that you necessarily go to that end. Mm-hmm. But the challenge with me has always been, or is now, I guess, just trying to figure out, you know, how do you make those records, you know, when people compare you and they say, I love this record. It's just like, man, I was a completely different person back then. Like, I'm not that person anymore. So it's like, okay, how do I get into the space where I am now and express that in a way that's palatable to people, you know what I mean? And I don't know. I don't know how to do that. I still love creating. I still do create and I'm working on stuff. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I don't know. I'm still feeling my way through that process.
But I think that's what's dope about it. You you don't have to know, right?
Nah.
You don't have to know in order to be creative.
Because you put it out and the audience gonna let you know.
Right, they gonna let you know, right. You know, that's the thing with being a creative. You're not supposed to have rules, mm-hmm. right? And that's one of the things I've respected about you. You used to always kind of push me like, yeah, you need to do this. Yeah. I don't
want
to do that right
now. Yeah, man. I remember, I mean, even like when we talk about like Leave It All Behind, like I just remember it was a moment where I saw like the picture.
You know, going through the wedding pictures.
The wedding pictures. And yeah, I was just like, that's it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what it was. I don't know what it just, but I just saw that picture. I was like, dude, that's it.
Yeah.
And you were like, word? I'm like, no, dude, just put a font on that shit. That's the title. You know what I mean?
That's, I think those are your exact words. Put a font on it.
Right, put that on. That's it. And but yeah, it was just one of those things where I was like just seeing your eye. And so I was like, yo, this fucking works. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so, yeah, man, those moments are just, again, just existence of, to me, of a higher power of just something. It's a sign of you being a part of something that's truly greater than yourself.
This is funny. And so, you know, so for the people that are watching, on the tubes, YouTube, not the other tubes.
Like, yeah, that, we won't name those other tubes.
We're gonna cut that out.
Yeah, edit like a motherfucker. Edit.
You know, like, I can't even remember my point now. I was getting ready to make a really, really cool, genius point. Always considered you one of my homies, one of my boys.
Absolutely.
You are in, just hearing you talk about your music right now and talk about being in a different place, I can tell right now you're in a different place now than you were 4 years ago. You know, we were having different conversations 4 years ago, and then 4 years before that, Let's go all the way back. You and I met in like 99, I think.
Yeah, 99 at Central.
At Central, right? I think when we met, matter of fact, I remember when we met, you had on a suit and tie. No, you had on a tie.
Yeah, because I was coming from, I probably was coming, either coming from or going to work at S&K in South Square Mall.
Yeah, that is right, yep.
That was my job.
And because Dunny, Sean Don, introduced us. We were in the calf.
Yeah, you were the first cat that showed me like how to work an MP.
Yeah, I was on the MP.
I still don't know how to work it, but I didn't remember nothing from that
day. I can't tell you how to do it. What? In 2017, don't ask me. I still got that MP, too.
Oh, wow.
I still have it. The screen don't work, but I still have it.
Yeah, you had it in the room, and I remember you showing me. So I was like, oh, wow, that's crazy.
Yep. That was crazy. Yeah, because I think y'all came up.
Yeah, we all came up, and I was like, wow, he got an MP in his room. This nigga is brave. Yo, homie is, like, I'm not the grimy dude. Like, I would never do that, but I know it's a lot of other people do it.
Why are you telling me that, man?
This nigga has the faith of Job, goddamn.
Yo, I had friends on that hall. Like, that whole hall, the Dirty Third.
They looked out. They looked out.
We all looked out for each other. So let's go back to where you were then. Like, this is before, actually, this is before Little Brother.
Absolutely.
This is Gimme organization. Where you were then, how do you think that impacted where you are now? You were in a different place. I think you had just had Peanut.
Yeah, well, he was on the way. I think he came like the year after.
The year after. So you had just
my older son.
You had a son getting ready to come. I don't even know if you knew it at that time, but that place that you were in emotionally, spiritually, where you were then.
Terrified.
How did that impact where you are now? Like, what did it teach you?
If anything, I think it taught me that you know, the saying, you know, this too shall pass.
Right.
You know, I remember when we did like the first record. I think it was the first record, or maybe it was the last record, I can't remember. But the Gimme record, we did a song called The Finest. And Gimme was a group with me, Sean Don, and Pooh. We were a group initially, and Ninth was doing the tracks. He did the majority of tracks, and then my homie Leroy, son of Yorel, he did some tracks. And so, so we did a song called The Finest, and that was like the first time I was like, yo, man, like, we got some shit. And that was the same day that I found out my girl was pregnant. And like, I didn't tell nobody that day, but we recorded that song. And I just remember recording that song and listening to it. And man, like, I thought my life was over. Mm-hmm. Like, I thought it was just like, dude, man, I done got her pregnant. I'm about to have a kid. Mm-hmm. Shit, we broke, like, what the fuck? And so I thought it was a wrap, you know what I mean? And at that time, I mean, yeah, it was just a lot of confusion, a lot of scare, you know, just your 20s, man. And I stress this to people all the time, like, your 20s are just, you couldn't pay me cash money to go back to my
20s. Likewise.
Like, you couldn't, like, there's no dollar amount, there's no nothing. I mean, like, it's such a terrible time, but you know, you learn in that time. And so I think how that influenced me then was that I just learned that, you know, you just gotta just keep going. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the things that you think are gonna cripple you, you know what I'm saying? Your fear of them is greater than the actuality of what they are. You know what I'm saying? Like, your fear of on the roller coaster, the anticipation of going up the hill and going up the hill and waiting for the drop, that's more terrifying than the actual drop.
Yeah.
So for me, that's what that taught me. Just, I remember being in that space and just being really confused and scared and, you know, not knowing what I was going to do, not knowing what my career was going to do, what having a son on the way and just being like, man, what the fuck am I doing? Yeah. And just being really terrified. And, you know, you just fight your way through it. You just keep moving forward. I was like, and you just focus on the things you can control. I'm like, look, man, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what kind of kid it's going to be. I don't know what me and his mama going to do. I don't know whatever. But the thing I can control is these fucking bars.
You know what I mean?
So it's like,
you did it.
The thing out of the lesson was just, yo, fight the battle that's in front of you.
You think, because you talk about hip hop and aggression and things like that, do you think that you needed hip hop at that time, you know, as an outlet?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Just music, period. Yeah. I mean, music has always been an outlet for me. And, you know, I think music, just art in general, is something, again, just going back to talking spiritually, I think, you know, art, the reason why it connects to people so much or why they feel such a strong connection to it is because it links, you know, the earthly world with the supernatural world. Yeah. I think it is the link between the things that we see and experience here on earth. It's the link between that and those things that are otherworldly, those emotions that we can't express and just those energies that are beyond our comprehension. And art is the link between that. And, you know, particularly with music, you know, it'll be times where, you know, songs would speak to me and sometimes even speak for me, you know what I mean? So yeah, at that time, music was definitely an outlet because that was the only thing I could control, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, again, fight the battle that's in front of you. I don't know what's gonna happen with this kid. I don't know what's gonna happen with that. The only thing I can control is bar one to bar 16. That shit gotta be fire. I can control that.
Well, you were controlling the reviews in the Campus Echo too.
Yo,
you were brutal. So,
dude, it's like my great one of my fear. Like, man. I was waiting. I mean, it hasn't happened, but like, you know, they archived them shit.
I know.
They archived, and I was just like, dude, like,
yeah.
I hope some of these motherfuckers don't read
that
my shit.
That I meet in the street. Yeah, but they come at, yeah, I read that review from 1999. Yeah, the year 2000, you wrote that review about my album.
You just dropped my album, baby. So yeah, man, that shit was crazy. But yeah, that was just a thing too, where it was just, it was something that I already did. I always listened to music. At the time, they had, it was a record store downtown called Millennium Music. Had, like, at that time, was a revolutionary idea where you could listen to any record in the store before you bought it.
It was in Brightleaf, right?
It was in Brightleaf Square. It was right on the corner. Yeah. And, you know, you would just go in there, and I would go in there and just spend hours, like, just listening to records and just listening to CDs and just taking stuff in, you know what I mean? And so, yeah, music has just always been that thing in my life that's always been a constant. And I never saw myself not doing it. Like, people always ask, okay, well, if you weren't doing this, what would you do?
Yeah.
And I really don't have a fucking clue. I mean, I'm sure I would. I'm not the person that's like, oh, well, if it wasn't for music, I'd be dead in jail. Like, no, nigga, I'd have a fucking job.
You probably would.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, I'm not going. I'm not the music saved my life person. Yeah. You know what I mean? This nigga, I'd have got a job and I'd have just been doing what I did. But it definitely, I never at any point in my life saw myself doing anything else.
I've got a lot of respect for you, man.
Likewise,
you
man.
You know, you, like, and I have that respect. Part of the reason is because where we met, I saw the moves you were making. We met at Central, North Carolina Central University. And while we were students, you know, you were involved in different things. Like we just alluded to, you know, you were in with the Campus Echo, and doing different things on the yard. Let's go back. I want to stay there for a minute. And part of the reason why I want to stay there is because I want to talk about the significance of NCCU as, so to speak, the background music to you creating, you know, to the things that you were doing. You are a product of Black Wall Street.
Absolutely.
You are a product of this legacy that we're trying to carry on through Black Wall Street with Homecoming, with the HBO activation, et cetera. How do you carry that with you day after day? How do you carry that legacy? Like the things that we were taught at Central, and I'm not talking about, you know, us sitting in class. I'm talking about going to financial aid.
Yeah, the whole hustle. Yeah.
Right. How does that shape Fonte as a person?
Man, like, it's NCCU, you know what I'm saying? Central to me was like, you know, it's, you know, the beautiful struggle. You know what I mean? Like,
there you go.
It's a beautiful struggle. And I tell people all the time,
I wouldn't do it again.
Oh, yo. I would do it again. I would do it again. I wouldn't go to no other school. I wouldn't go to no other school.
I'm happy. Don't get me wrong. I'm happy I did it.
Yeah.
But dude, no. Old Chidley.
Yeah, that shit was a condemned fucking building.
Yeah,
like, I don't know why. I don't know how. I don't know if there even was a code of any kind.
Oh, you turn the water on. I remember a dude got scalded.
Got scalded up. Yeah, my homie Adrian. He got Adrian Taylor, big A.
I remember that.
Yeah, dude. Yo, man. Yeah, it was something. But again, so you asked like what that taught me. Dude, it just teaches you, at least it taught me, it's just certain shit that you can't control. Yeah. And when you get to those moments that you realize that it is out of your control, you just gotta give into it. You just gotta submit. Like when you walk into the fucking Bursar's office to get your refund check and you see that shit is all the way down the fucking, it's just like, dog, there goes my day. Like that's it.
That's what's
it's over. This is what my day is. Yep. And I just gotta accept that. Yep. And I'ma just go with it. We're gonna be in the hall, we're gonna be high, eagle line down, can't register for classes. Yep. Like all that shit. You just have to accept it. And so, you know, and in that you see the beauty in that. And I mean, just through that school, I mean, you know, I made so many friends, and you know, you learn it teaches you too just how to deal with people. Cause I was never really a people person per se. I mean, I still don't know if I would describe myself as a people person. I know how to work with people, but I was always very isolated.
Dude, you an introvert.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I'm, you know, and not like in like these new niggas, like these Tumblr nigga introverts.
No.
Like I really, that's really how I've always operated. Yeah. So once I got to Central, like you learn that, yo man, like sometimes you gotta talk to people to grease the wheel a little bit. You know what I mean? You have to be, you know, be friendly, and you have to just like, hey, you know, if you're nice to this lady, she'll remember you. Mm-hmm. And you know, next time when you come to the registrar's office, it's like, oh, I remember you. Yeah. I got you. You know what I mean? So yeah, it teaches you a lot. I mean, my greatest education in Central, I would say, took place outside of the classroom.
Yeah. Life.
You know what I'm saying? Just learning how to navigate life and learning how to navigate those adversities. You know what I mean? And I still carry that with me to this day. I mean, I can't say enough about the Black college experience.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't trade it for anything else. It was, again, it was the beautiful struggle. It was some stuff that was so fucked up, but you loved it.
I know, I was there. And that's what it was, man. You know, this is dope. Man, I could sit here and talk to you for hours.
Yeah, we could. But, I mean, this could be forever.
But one last thing I do want to ask you, what kind of projects do you have coming up right now?
Man, just
that you can talk
working
about.
On a lot. Yeah, I'm working on a lot, man. I'm working on my record, my solo record. No News Is Good News. I just have to work on it when I have time, because I'm between a lot. So working on my solo record, doing Questlove Supreme every week with on Pandora with Questlove, Amir Thompson from The Roots. Mm-hmm. We do that. We tape that every week in New York. So I'm back and forth from New York all the time.
That's still crazy.
It's wild. It's funny. I mean, to bring it back to Central, I remember Dr. Hampton, who was our, you know, our music teacher. Brenda Hampton. Yeah. She used to teach, I think, at Rutgers. She taught.
Yeah, and
she used to take that flight every.
That is
and
right.
I just remember sitting in class thinking, like, what the fuck? Like, you fly to Jersey, like, every week, like you just like that seems so insane to me, and now I'm doing that shit, and it just, you know.
I loved her.
Yeah, Dr. Hampton came real.
And, it was piano, and we had a music industry class.
Yeah, music and her and she taught it.
Yeah.
Chip taught it.
Her and Chip. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Well, y'all took it the semester before me.
Yep. Yeah. But yeah, man. So yeah, that was the thing. So working on that, doing Questlove Supreme, getting ready to get work on The Break season 2 again. They moved us. We're on BET, we're on VH1, now they move us to BET, which I think
still
would be a good move. And that was the thing,
yeah.
It was all under the same umbrella,
right.
And they thought BET would be a better fit for the brand. So I feel good. I think they're actually gonna let us really get loose and do our thing.
Nice.
Still producing, or lyric producer, writing the rhymes for that. Man, doing voiceover stuff, I just did, by the time this comes out, it will have been out. But I did work for Jordan Brand, doing the Russell Westbrook MVP commercial.
Stop. You serious?
Yeah, I did that. That came out. Well, it came out a while back by the time this comes out. But I did that. I did some work for PBS Kids. Did some voiceover stuff for them. Got some.
This is real
TV
surprise
stuff.
Right here.
Yeah. Like, we ain't even talk. Yeah, nah, this is what's going on. So that, got some other TV stuff going on. I feel like it's something I'm missing, but I think that's like enough.
That's crazy.
Oh, I did a writing on, what is it? The new Kathryn Bigelow movie. Kathryn Bigelow, Detroit. I co-wrote a song with The Roots for that.
Man.
That's coming out. I'm just working, man.
Man, this is crazy. And I know you, and it's still crazy to me to hear this. You know, you're my boy. I'm a fan.
Nah, yeah, but we saying, yeah, this is just life shit. We don't even get to talk. Yeah.
This is crazy. Well, yo, I really want to say thank you for coming on.
Nah, all the time. Come on, thank you. I love you, brother. Man, thank you. And just as you're proud of me, I'm proud of you, man. I know, you know what it takes to, you know, to be an entrepreneur and to build something from the ground up, you know, with Complex Creative. And I mean, it's that shit is not for the faint of heart.
Not at all.
So just I know a lot of times it just is as men, you know, we don't salute each other enough. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I just want to say, brother, I'm proud of you, man. I love you, and I just love the work you're doing, G.
Love you back, bro.
Always.
Thanks. For sure.